air moves through the state with showers and thunderstorms, we hope, ahead of it, especially by this afternoon and into the evening hours. High today will be in the upper 80s. Much more comfortable air behind the front tomorrow. We'll hold on to a small rain chance tonight and tomorrow. The highs will be in the mid to upper 80s, but very low humidity. Comfortable at night, low to mid 60s, and near 60 by Thursday night. Not bad. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Aaliyah's Marine Patrol Division confirms that the body recovered Saturday was that of 26-year-old Kelsey Starling of Troy. Starling hadn't been seen since a crash on Smith Lake on July 4th. Several people now face criminal charges in that crash. It is crunch time for candidates in Montgomery's runoff elections. Candidates for mayor Stephen Reed and David Wood say they've been busy the last few days of the campaign. Three city council seats have also moved on to runoff elections. The polls open Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock. And educators across the state say thousands of third graders could be held back because of a new reading test. This test is the result of a new state law. Critics say the testing will result in students with disabilities and English language learners being held back. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Dieting is difficult. Hot yoga is hard. Spin class is tough with a tough instructor. But you know what's easy? Taking the exact vitamins and supplements that are just right for you. So don't take someone else's vitamins. You don't need to. Because there's GNC for you. Personalized daily packs filled with the industry's best vitamins and supplements delivered to your door each month. And it all starts with a simple quiz. Look, the journey may be hard, but this part, it's easy. Go to GNCforYou.com. Take the free quiz.
Hi, folks. Dirk Bentley here. Being on the go is a big part of my life. I love seeing new places, meeting new people, and performing all over the world. For energy on the go, for me, it's 5-Hour Energy. It works fast, works long, and it tastes good. With zero sugar and 4 calories, try it. It could work for your on-the-go life, too. 5-Hour Energy. Energy on the go. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com.
Traffic is brought to you by Prattville Farm Center. Save big on affordable premium dog food at Prattville Farm Center. You'll always deal with hometown folks and get the best prices at Prattville Farm Center. Prattville Farm Center, South Memorial Drive in Prattville.
If you have a name, then you have a chance to win one of 5 great prizes.
Play the name game with Blue Water Broadcasting, and you could win a $1,000 gift card at select stores from Eastdale Mall.
Winning is easy. Register online at our station website. We'll call out names all week long. Play the name game and win incredible prizes.
From Eastdale Mall and Blue Water Broadcasting.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online, the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
A second witness is challenging President Trump's Ukraine call and the foreign help he sought to investigate the Bidens.
World champion gymnast Simone Biles is making history again with 2 moves that have never been done before.
In one of the term's most important cases, the Supreme Court will decide what's to become of DACA.
The Dreamers, united!
A deer in a hair salon sounds like a joke. It is not. The deer busting through that salon's window, that's in Long Island, startling customers before they ran back outside.
Joshua Brown, one of the few able to describe the moments before Amber Geiger shot and killed their neighbor, Botham John. Someone shot Brown multiple times and drove off. Joshua Brown was pronounced dead.
Security concerns have not slowed down Joker. He's laughing all the way to the bank, showing the film on track for a $94 million domestic opening weekend.
Wow.
4 times in my life, America's been at war. Such a tragic waste of lives that it makes you realize how desperately the world needs a lasting peace. Just across the hall here in the White House is the Roosevelt Room, named after the 2 Roosevelts who served here, one a Republican, one a Democrat. Many decisions are made in that room, and often as I meet with my staff, I gaze up at the five service flags, each representing one of the five military services. And draped from each flag are battle streamers, signifying every battle campaign fought since the Revolutionary War. Each ribbon a remembrance of a time when American men and women spilled their blood into the soil of distant lands. My fondest hope for this presidency is that the people of America give us the continued opportunity to pursue a peace so strong and so lasting that we'd never again have to add another streamer to those flags. I'm proud of being an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Scott Morgan is down 20 points. The temperature outside, believe it or not, is 83 degrees. Let me bring in Mr. Producer himself, the one and only Joey Clark.
Hello.
Joey's son. Let's get the name game done, then I want to ask you about your weekend.
Okay, well, first off, you know how we were talking about all the smart skins, you know, Med Spa and Salon, and winning that massage package?
Yeah. Well,
Brittany Mitz, her name was drawn this morning. She is the winner of that. That's great stuff. Brittany Mitz won the Smart Skin Med Spa and Salon relaxation massage package.
Brittany is going to be one happy young lady.
But so we have to continue. It's a new prize this week.
Oh, what's the new prize this week?
New prize this week is a $1,000 gift card to Dylan Rings on Brown Springs Road.
No way!
Yeah, $1,000 gift card to Dylan Rings. So without further ado, Linda Majors. Linda Majors. You need to call 396-5477 within the hour. Linda Majors, call 396-5477 for your chance to win this $1,000 gift card to Dylan Rings.
Do we think Linda Majors is Lee Majors' little sister?
Who knows? There are a lot of Majors out there. Again, Linda
There's
Majors.
There's some minors, too.
Call that number, 396-5477.
So how was your weekend, big guy?
It was very good, other than that Auburn game. Bo Nix showed his age. Saturday.
Oh, man.
That was such sloppy football.
I've talked to some Auburn fans that were actually there.
Yeah.
And they said, they go, Dan, you know how it is at Jordan Hare when the fans are really into the game and that's like it changes everything? He said, that's what it was like down in the swamp.
I believe it.
They said, the difference, though, is there's a section that is like they're on the side of a building looking out in the field, and it's so noisy down in the end zone. And so when you get into the red zone down there, it's hard to hear. And they said we were over in the 45, and it was, you know, we couldn't hear.
Right.
And we were way away from there. That was a tough game. Did you watch part of the Georgia-Tennessee game?
A little bit of it, yeah.
My son, who lives in Knoxville, is three blocks from the stadium, Neyland, and I was asking him, but he said, this place is rocking. He said, literally, my apartment is shaking.
Yeah, early on, I was amazed to see Tennessee in the game.
For the first quarter and a half, they were in there. That the second half of the first quarter, or second quarter, they dropped off a little bit, and then the team just didn't come out of the locker room the third quarter. They forgot to bring their team to the game. But I was pretty impressed with them. That was some good football on this weekend. The Braves lost on Thursday, won on Friday, and then won last night.
Well, away game, though.
Away game, too. Wow. So they win tonight, and they've got it. Yeah. They're in the World Series, or in the double playoffs. So I'm pumped up about that.
Nice.
Guess what time the game is, though? 2:00.
Oh, no, you're going to have to DVR it and then put blindfolds on.
It's being DVR'd. It's ready. My DVR goes, I'll do it. I promise you, I'll do it. But so don't call and tell me a score now. They'll make me mad. So my son and I would win, and we celebrated it with Sonics blasters after the game.
Oh, yeah.
We're sitting there. We've been talking, and the game was over. We were going, that was a great game. Soroka, our favorite pitcher, pitched, and it was really good. So we rewarded ourselves with a Sonic blaster because we played such a damn good game. Mm. In other words, we did our part drinking the Corona and eating the steak and the drinking the red wine. I tell you, I had a steak last night that was unbelievable. I did everything by the book, and it was superb. That Amish butter from Sweet Creek Farm Market is just spectacular. Speaking of Sweet Creek Farm Market, any caller can get in on Sweet Creek Farm Market gift basket drawing we're going to do on Friday. But if you're a first-time caller, you get your name put in twice. People who have done that have had really good luck with that. So give us a call at 272-9228. Let's go to Polly Williamson talking about U.S. troops pulling out of Syria.
Breaking news from Syria. In a major U.S. policy shift this morning, American troops are pulling back to make way for Turkey's planned invasion of part of northern Syria. Video out this morning shows American forces leaving an area along Turkey's border. Turkey is targeting U.S.-backed Kurdish fighters that have been key American allies in the fight against ISIS. The abrupt change follows a phone call last night between President Trump and Turkey's president. Holly Williams has reported extensively throughout the region. Holly, what does this mean for the fight against ISIS?
Yeah, what it means is that America's most important ally on the ground in the fight against ISIS looks like it's about to get involved in an armed conflict with Turkey, which is an American NATO ally. So that sounds really bad right off the bat. This is a complicated part of the world. So just for some background, when America decided it wanted to fight ISIS in Syria, it went looking for a partner. And the only people who were ready, willing, and able to fight against ISIS were the Syrian Democratic Forces, or SDF. But from the beginning of that partnership, Turkey's been saying, America, you shouldn't be doing business with these guys because we regard them as terrorists. Now, the threat now is that the SDF, we spoke to them this morning, they said, we are going to fight Turkey. But the bigger risk also is that the SDF says to America, we feel betrayed. You've let us down. Why should we do your fighting, America, against ISIS? We're going to look after our interests, not yours.
Okay, so the U.S. is pulling out of Syria, and there's some people kind of upset about that, including Lindsey Graham. We'll see what Dr. David Sorensen has to say about this. Let's play the second part of this piece.
Well, we all know it's been complicated. Listen, even the administration was divided on whether to withdraw the troops.
Right.
We remember former Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis resigned over it. So what can you tell us about how the president reached this decision?
So I don't know the nitty-gritty of this decision. What I can say is that Turkey has been pushing the U.S. really hard on this for months, threatening to invade Syria. As you say, this is really contentious within this current administration. Back in December, President Trump said he was going to withdraw all U.S. troops from Syria, and the former Secretary of Defense resigned over that. That decision was later watered down so that U.S. troops went from 2,500 to 1,000 troops in this part of Syria. What I can tell you is that when I was in Syria about 2 weeks ago, I interviewed the head of the SDF, General Muslim Kobani, and he told me that when the U.S. military told him that they would be withdrawing, the officers who he deals with said, we don't agree with this. We don't think it's a good decision, you know, but we don't have any choice here.
News Channel 93.1, we'll be back with Dr. David Sorensen talking about this very important issue right after this.
Dan Morris Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
The biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Fox tonight. Critics and fans are raving about Prodigal Son.
I'm flattered.
TV Guide raves. It's Silence of the Lambs meets Family Dysfunction and Gleefully Twisted.
Nothing like a little murder to cheer you up.
And the New York Times calls it too much fun to watch.
It's genius.
Well, that's my specialty.
But first...
911, what's your emergency?
All-new 911, followed by an all-new Prodigal Son.
Tonight on Fox 20.
Come on, boy, finish your business, and we'll get you back inside.
Hey, neighbor, trouble with those allergies again?
Yep, tried just about everything, but he's still scratching all day, every day. Feels so bad for the little guy.
Happened to us not long ago. Randy at Prattville Farm Center recommended Victor dog food. No corn, wheat, gluten, or soy. Plus, it's cheaper than the food I was buying across town.
Happy allergy-free dogs eat Victor dog food from Prattville Farm Center. 1154 South Memorial Drive, 365-5400.
Montgomery Area Help Wanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, what does collate mean?
Oh, hey, Dave. I think it means to flush.
Oh, thanks, Dave. Well, better start collating the boss's sales pitch.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Montgomery Area Help Wanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Dave is a common name used in a comical way. Please don't write us to tell us you were insulted by this ad. That would be a real Dave move, Dave.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
That's where we are on a Monday. Starting your week out right. How about that quickie storm that came in on Saturday? That was something. We'll get to that later on when I go back over my eating arrangements I had this weekend. Let's go. When we have a Middle East question, we go to the man himself, Dr. David Sorensen, Middle East expert, Air War College. Dr. Sorensen, welcome to the Dan Morris Show.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
Well, I tell you what, I was a little stunned. It seems a lot of people were stunned with the U.S. pulling out of Syria. Tell me what the impact is, and through the eyes of Dr. David Sorensen, of this issue.
The impact is that the United States, I fear, is going to continue to lose credibility in the entire region, because the Kurds are one of those groups that we have supported for a long time, actually since 2003, when they did a lot to help get rid of the Saddam Hussein regime in Iraq. They have fought against the so-called Islamic State, or ISIS. They're, in fact, some of the best fighters on the ground fighting against that terrorist group. They have been supporting the fight against the Assad regime in Syria. And in many ways, they have been the most loyal of fighters to the United States for a very long time. And for the United States to essentially turn their back on them, and not only that, but to expose them to an invasion from Turkey into northern Syria, I think is going to be looked at across the Middle East as, again, a lack of faithlessness on the part of the United States.
So they're pulling out, and then the president says, well, if Turkey invades Iraq, then we're going to put these economic sanctions on them. But everybody could be dead by the time that really has some type of effect on them. What can U.S. do sanction-wise to Turkey that they would really care about? And wouldn't that take a while?
It will not only take a while, but it's very hard, given that we still have a NATO alliance with Turkey, which really requires us to contribute to Turkey's security. We have forces in Turkey. We have, in fact, significant forces in Turkey. So sanctioning them beyond taking them out of the F-35 deal, which was a separate measure, is really going to be very hard. And second, in many ways, I would argue that President Trump's language openly invited Turkey to go into northern Syria, because essentially what he said is, we're going to move American forces out of the way, which means that when Turkey comes in to fight the Kurdish forces known as the Syrian Democratic Group, there's going to be nobody in the way. The purpose of American forces in that region was twofold. It was A, to help keep fighting the so-called Islamic State or ISIS, which has not gone away, but also to keep the Kurdish groups in the Syrian Democratic Forces unmolested by Turkey. Because, again, this is an effort on the part of Turkey to expand its border and allegedly to clear land to resettle Syrian refugees who have fled to Turkey. Now, that's understandable. Turkey has about 3.6 million Syrian refugees. But to move them out of Turkey into this inhospitable land is only going to create more instability on Turkey's border. So for all kinds of reasons, it's going to be very hard for the United States to really do anything to Turkey, particularly given, again, the language of the president was almost an invitation to Turkey to come on in.
Okay, so help me understand why. Why would Trump do this?
That's extremely unclear. He had a meeting, actually a couple of meetings recently with Turkey's president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, who he has criticized in the past and actually fought with in the past, and apparently spoke with him on the phone possibly as recently as yesterday. Erdogan has been pushing Trump to remove the forces so he can take his forces into northern Syria. He fears that the Syrian Democratic Forces, this Kurdish, mostly Kurdish group, is supporting Turkey's own Kurds, the PKK, and there may be some connection, but it's not strategically significant. So apparently, again, as President Trump seems to be persuaded in some cases by phone calls from foreign leaders, apparently Trump overrode the advice of everybody in the State Department and in the Defense Department, who bitterly opposed to this. Remember, this is why General Mattis resigned initially as Secretary of Defense when Trump first proposed it. And in fact, Brett McGurk, who was the U.S. Trump-appointed U.S. envoy to the region, also resigned and wrote a bitter critical editorial in the New York Times, criticizing the president. Again, this is somebody who Trump appointed. So I think there is widespread opposition to the president's decision, essentially, to give Turkey the green light to go in.
Okay, so let's get into kind of the what could happen here. Is it possible that the Kurds will fight as individuals? Because they're the best fighters in the region, is that correct?
Yes, they are. They're well armed. They're highly motivated. What they don't have is real defenses against Turkish air attacks. And I suspect that Turkey will go in with close air support first, and then move in with heavy equipment. Turkey has tanks. Turkey has very large armored personnel carriers. And what may happen is that the Syrian Democratic Forces withdraw. Turkey's said they're going in today or tomorrow, so this could be happening as we speak. I suspect that the Syrian Democratic Forces, the Kurdish group, is going to withdraw as the heavy stuff comes in, and then I suspect they will start using guerrilla tactics against the Turkish forces, and that will give them a bit more of an advantage.
Is there any possibility if they came in with air, attack by air, that we would then counter that in any way?
No. No, I think that, again, once President Trump has essentially given Turkey the green light to go in, I think that was an open statement that we're not going to interfere with you. I think, on the one hand, Trump may understand that President Erdogan is under pressure domestically for all of these refugees who are in Turkey and wants to relocate them. President Trump himself has not been particularly sympathetic to the plight of refugees worldwide. And that may be a part of it. But no, I don't think that the United States will do anything to interfere with Turkey unless the president can be persuaded to change his mind. What is interesting is that his normal supporters, Senator Lindsey Graham, Representative Cheney, Senator Rubio, have all been bitterly critical. Senator Lindsey Graham, who again has been very strongly supportive of Trump, said, "If I didn't know Trump had done this, I would have thought Obama would have made this decision," which is pretty sharp criticism. And it may be that enough Republicans in Congress and Republicans who once served under Trump will push back to the point where the president may be persuaded to change his mind and realize the real extreme significance of this decision.
I'll get to the Lindsey Graham cuts and just say a moment here. Is there any possibility that this would move the Kurds to join forces with Syria?
Yes. That is a very real possibility. That is a very real possibility because in many ways the Kurds thought they could rely on the United States. But their real concern is Turkey. And so the option they have is to join the Assad regime, not just as they find it, in order to form a combined capacity to fight against the Turks. Because, again, Assad, as noxious as he is, doesn't want Turkey to invade his country any more than the Syrian Democratic Forces, the Kurdish group, does. So that is a very real possibility. And in fact, the Kurdish leaders have said, if this happens, if Turkey invades, we may have no choice but to join the Assad regime. That will put them on the same side of Assad, Iran, and Russia against Turkey. That would be a very significant loss for the United States.
Tell me where the Kurds are getting all their munitions and everything from us, correct?
Yes, we have been supplying the Kurds somewhat carefully. We haven't been giving them things that really would be game changers, but we have given them munitions, we've given them training, we've given them detection devices, night vision goggles, things that like that. But we have been supplying them both in Syria, but also in Iraq.
Haven't we also been giving them support in the sense of using aerial support and intelligence?
We have. We have supplied them with aerial gathered information on the Assad regime, and we've also been giving them targeting information and giving them close air support as they fought ISIS. And again, that has worked very effectively. We go in with both reconnaissance and close air support, attack the ISIS units, and let the Kurds go in on the ground and really do the hard work of rooting them out and killing them. So, yeah, that has been a lot of cooperation that really began in about 2014 when ISIS first started.
Is there any possibility that the reason Trump is doing this is to pull U.S. out so other countries will put their troops in?
Well, his comment is interesting. And, again, it reflects a sentiment that he expressed during the campaign that we've had forces in the region for a long time.
We've
had forces in Iraq since 2003. We've had forces in Afghanistan since 2001. It has been a long slog. On the other hand, we've had forces in Japan since 1945, and forces in the Philippines and Germany, certainly under different conditions.
Yeah, nobody's trying to blow them up.
That's true, but the point of those forces, in part, is to demonstrate U.S. long-run willingness to make a global commitment. And that, I think, is what President Trump is really criticizing and critiquing, is do we want to be a global power again? Because, again, he's gone after the alliances the U.S. has had with Japan and South Korea and with NATO, and you get an overall perception that his overall goal is not just to pull forces out of the Middle East, but in fact to reduce U.S. global commitments all over the world.
Let me go to a break, if you don't mind, Dr. Sorensen. Come back. We'll get into the Lindsey Graham things right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Many people here in the Montgomery area are looking for a new dentist. Some of you may have just moved into the area, or your dentist may be about to retire, or maybe it's just too hard to get an appointment with your dentist. The Dan Morris Show has a personal recommendation just for you. Dr. Dan Hudson of Bell Road Family Dentistry. He is a sole practitioner dentist with a heart for his patients. Maybe you need a checkup, or you may need to have crowns or cosmetic dentistry. Dr. Dan Hudson can handle your case. He is a complete dentist who has the latest and most up-to-date dental equipment. He can do crowns in just one appointment, saving you time and money. But the real secret of Dr. Dan Hudson's success is his staff. You'll love the staff of Bell Road Family Dentistry. You aren't just a patient number, but a part of the family of the Bell Road Family Dentistry practice. You'll love this former member of the Special Forces who is dedicated to your dental health. Call 395-6695 to set up a consultative appointment. Dr. Dan Hudson, Bell Road Family Dentistry, 395-6695. He will make your smile.
What's up, Montgomery? This your boy, Bama Miles, up here at Rim Time. We've been rocking with Blue Water Broadcasting for about 6 years now. If you're looking to grow your business, hit them up. They'll get you right.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
News. I'm Carmen Roberts. A second intelligence official may file a formal whistleblower complaint against President Trump. The New York Times reports the official is alarmed about the president's attempts to pressure Ukraine and is weighing his options.
A new complaint would give Congress more ammunition as they fight the White House over documents in this subpoena showdown.
Fox's Leland Vittert. Senator Elizabeth Warren's campaign fires National Organizing Director Richard McDaniel following complaints of inappropriate behavior. A spokeswoman for the campaign says outside counsel is investigating. In Hong Kong, pro-democracy protesters take to the streets angry that Chief Executive Carrie Lam banned them from wearing face masks. She claimed the ban would help quell violence. It's done the opposite. America's listening to Fox News.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by the cruise that never ends at Caravita Village Senior Living. Semi-private suites from $13.99 and private suites for $15.49. Learn more at caravitavillage.com.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. Finally, this is the day the leading edge of cooler air moves through the state with showers and thunderstorms, we hope, ahead of it, especially by this afternoon and into the evening hours. High today will be in the upper 80s. Much more comfortable air behind the front tomorrow. We'll hold on to a small rain chance tonight and tomorrow. The highs will be in the mid to upper 80s, but very low humidity. Comfortable at night, low to mid 60s, and near 60 by Thursday night. Not bad. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
When you're shopping for a new car, truck, or SUV, getting a great rate shouldn't be a problem. ASE Credit Union makes auto loans easy with rates as low as 3.5% APR. Apply online or visit your local branch today. ASE Credit Union, your life, your goals, your ASE. Equal opportunity lender.
The River Region's 24-hour news talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Last night at 11 o'clock, the White House announced that U.S. forces will withdraw from Syria, and then Turkey will take up the operation against ISIS. Over the last 20 minutes or so, the president has tweeted out five things regarding this, and here's the third one. They have been fighting Turkey for decades. I held off this fight for almost 3 years. But it is time for us to get out of these ridiculous, endless wars, many of them tribal, and bring our soldiers home. We will fight where it is to our benefit and only fight to win. Turkey, Europe, Syria, Iran, Iraq, Russia, and the Kurds will now have to figure the situation out and what they want to do with the captured ISIS fighters in their neighborhood. They all hate ISIS. Have been enemies for years. We are 7,000 miles away and will crush ISIS again if they come anywhere near us.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
I'm not sure if I see ISIS heading up the spine of Florida towards Alabama. Man. On the phone with us is Dr. David Sorensen, our Middle East expert, Air War College. We're talking about the U.S. Withdrawal from Syria of our troops. Dr. Sorensen, there's nothing that I read that kind of, other than that statement that Trump just read, there doesn't seem to be some strategic interest that we're doing this particular way. Am I missing something?
I think you're exactly right. I don't see the strategic interest either.
I think that, in fact, Representative Liz Cheney got it better when she said, withdrawing U.S. forces from northern Syria is a catastrophic mistake that puts our gains against ISIS at risk and threatens U.S. security. The point of having troops in this region is to stop terrorism before it gets here. Now, again, there's been a mixed record, but one could at least argue that since 9/11, tragic as it was, we haven't had another attack since then because we have stopped terrorism in its home countries. Now, that's hard to prove, and I would be the first to acknowledge that. But again, the point is we have successfully killed tens of thousands of ISIS forces, certainly a group much more dangerous than Al-Qaeda, and we've done it by partnering with forces like the Kurds, who have, again, been very effective fighters. So, again, I understand the concerns about long-term presence in difficult and dangerous parts of the world. It is expensive. It puts lives at risk for American troops. On the other hand, it's hard to argue that we haven't seen some success from it, given the number of people we've stopped in their tracks before they had an opportunity to mount something like 9/11.
Dr. Sorensen, just thinking this through, imagine the president never made this decision, or, you know, at the best of people like Lindsey Graham and others, he reverses the decision, keeps American troops stationed there. Does Turkey then, in reaction to the presence of the American troops, just sit on their hands, not engage in operation against the Kurds and SDF? I mean, how would Turkey respond if Trump had not made this decision?
That's a hard question to answer, because Turkey has viewed the Kurds in general as an existential threat. Every time I go to Turkey, and I go there frequently, and I ask the Turks, what is your biggest security concern? Is it ISIS? Is it Iran? Is it what? And the answer comes out very quickly. It's the Kurds. It's the PKK in particular, the Kurdish Workers Party, which is a Turkish-Kurdish group. But Turkey is convinced that all of these Kurdish groups around Turkey, the Syrian Kurds, the Iraqi Kurds, the Iranian Kurds, are all supporting the Turkish Kurds who are in rebellion against the Turkish government.
Pardon me for interrupting you, Dr. Sorensen, but please. Is the PPK the Kurds that are only in Turkey, or is that all Kurds that are taking up arms?
No, that's a great question. The PKK specifically is made up of Turkish Kurds who live mostly in the eastern part of the country. But the argument is that they get support from some other Kurds. And again, the evidence is mixed, and I've looked at both sides. There have been certainly cases where PKK fighters have been found in Iraq, and certainly cases where they have been found in Syria. But the point is that while there may be a little bit of support, the Syrian Kurds are much more concerned about Syria and fighting ISIS. The Iraqi Kurds in particular are also much more concerned about Iraq and fighting ISIS, forming their own autonomous regions. Supporting the PKK in Turkey really isn't all that much in their interest, although there has been a little bit. But again, Turkey gives this, I'd say, paranoid view, because even paranoids have enemies, but I think it's an exaggerated view.
Right.
I think it's an exaggerated view that all Kurds are hostile to Turkey and all Kurds are supporting the PKK. There just isn't a lot of evidence to support that. But again, conspiratorial views have been common in Turkey for a very long time, and this is what I think is fueling it.
Well, one thing I did kind of glean out of some articles, but it was, this happened last night, and so the press were running, but television hadn't really picked up very much, and I would get stuff over in Europe, but it seems their concern, and tell me if they're wrong, is that they're worried that the PPK in Turkey could be part of an uprising to take Erdogan out, and that he wants to stop that now.
I don't see any real evidence for that.
Okay.
I think that the Syrian Kurds in particular would be happy with the status quo. They want to keep Turkey out. They want to protect northern Syria. They want to establish their own autonomous region there. They continue to resist the homicidal Assad regime. And I think they will want to continue to enjoy U.S. support. And I think their hope is we can return to that status quo.
Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, excitement level or disappointment level in the country, how excited is Turkey about this?
Well, I think the excitement level in Turkey is probably around an 8.
Okay. How about in Syria?
Well, I think it's probably about an 8 on the other side. I don't think Syrians are at all happy to see Turkey begin to come in, because what that's going to do is bring back at least 1 million, possibly 1.5 million Syrian refugees, and put them into an inhospitable area where they may do nothing but join the rebellion against the Assad regime. They fled the Assad regime once, and to put them back into Syria is not going to create poverty and discord between the Syrian refugees, most of whom are not Kurds, and the Kurds who live there. It's really, in many ways, just pouring gasoline onto an already hot coal area. And so I think the Syrians, particularly the Syrians who support the Assad regime in Damascus, are very, very worried about this.
Where would Iraq be on this on a 1 to 10?
I think Iraq is watching this pretty closely. I'd say probably around a 4 or 5, because the Iraqis are concerned that if Turkey can send forces into Syria, they can do the same thing to Iraq. They have before. In fact, they did it a long time ago. U.S. actually caught some Turkish special forces in northern Iraq and arrested them, which did not bode well for U.S.-Turkish relations back then. So the Iraqis are concerned as well, because, again, what the Turks are capable of doing is destabilizing a tense status quo in Iraq. The Kurds have established autonomy. They're doing very well in northern Iraq compared to the rest of the country, which is really struggling, as we've seen with these demonstrations in Baghdad and elsewhere. So I think everybody in the region who has a border with Turkey has this very much on their radar screen right now.
How about Iran? How excited would Iran be about this?
A little less, but again, Iran has Kurds too, and they do border Turkey. So I think Iran is a little bit less concerned. I think Iran may be partly pleased that in many ways, if Turkey invades northern Syria, they're simply giving Iran better justification to support the Assad regime. So there may be a few smiles in the Iranian foreign ministry right now.
Where would Israel be on this?
I think Israel may be looking at this as destabilization, to be sure, but not necessarily all that close to its borders. But again, Israel has had a tense relationship with Turkey. They once were partners, and then under Prime Minister and then President Erdogan, that relationship has become more strained. But recently there has been an improvement in relations simply because Israel and Turkey are both concerned about Iran. But when Turkey begins to act in ways that destabilize the region, that gets attention in Israel.
Is there possibly a chaos-type strategy here that by us pulling out, that's creating this chaos where all these different partners have to fight for survival, and not fighting may be the better cause? And what are the probabilities of ISIS really coming back to power?
ISIS is already coming back in a lot of ways that don't get a lot of attention, and it needs to get attention. They are fermenting, if you will, in the refugee camps. They're holding ISIS prisoners. Women in particular are agitating and getting converts within the prisons for women, particularly in Iraq, but also in Syria. There are huge prisons that are holding ISIS. There are also a number of ISIS members who have left Iraq and moved back into Syria. In some cases, they're flowing both ways. Estimates now are maybe 1,000 to 3,000 or more ISIS members. It doesn't take a lot to start this movement. So ISIS is not only not dead, but they're beginning to revive again. The problem is that if Turkey and Syria go at it along with the Kurds, the real beneficiary are ISIS, because Turkey, Syria, and the Kurds all have ISIS as a common enemy. When those three are fighting, ISIS is the beneficiary because they're fighting each other and not ISIS. So ISIS will benefit even more if Turkey does cross the border.
Let me play something that Lindsey Graham said this morning.
By the way, would we have defeated ISIS without the Kurds? The ISIS is not defeated, my friend. The biggest lie being told by the administration that ISIS is defeated. The caliphate destroyed, but there are thousands of fighters over there, and no, the caliphate would not have been destroyed without the Kurds. And I applaud the president for getting the Kurds and the Arabs to do most of the fighting. The casualties to destroy the caliphate was very low. We've got less than 1,000 troops now in Syria. Right. But this impulsive decision by the president has undone all the gains we've made, thrown the region into further chaos. Iran is licking their chops. And if I'm an ISIS fighter, I've got a second lease on life. So to those who think ISIS has been defeated, you will soon see. And to Turkey, you've destroyed the relationship, what little you had with the U.S. Congress. And I will do everything I can to sanction Turkey's military and their economy if they step one foot into Syria.
But they are.
Senator, I hope I'm making myself clear how short-sighted and irresponsible this decision is, in my view.
Do you in general agree with Lindsey Graham's statement?
I do. He's right that ISIS has not been defeated. He's right that Turkey moving into Syria is a win for ISIS. Yes, I agree with him. I don't know that he'll be able to impose sanctions on Turkey's military without the president going along, but I think it does indicate the sentiment among the president's normal supporters that in many ways this move is a strategic mistake for the United States.
What will be the first indication that this is a strategic mistake? What will we see first?
Well, I think we'll see if Turkey goes in, we'll begin to see fighting in the region. Again, that's drawing two sides allied with the United States into fighting each other. And then I suspect we'll see ISIS forces take advantage and do something, possibly even in Syria. They're still there in Syria. They're certainly there in Iraq. I think that ISIS is going to make a statement pretty soon that it is not only alive, but in many ways, even though it doesn't have a state, it is still very, very deadly. They've gone into hiding. We don't know where they are, so it's harder even to predict where the attack will take place. But I expect that we will see ISIS activity pretty quickly, particularly if Turkey goes into Syria.
Dr. Sorens, I just kind of want you to react in real time. We just heard Lindsey Graham saying, I'll use the U.S. Senate to bring sanctions against Turkey. This is Donald Trump tweeting 2 hours ago. Just reaction, please. As I have stated strongly before, the president tweets, and just to reiterate, if Turkey does anything that I, in my great and unmatched wisdom, consider to be off limits, I will totally destroy and obliterate the economy of Turkey. I've done it before. They must, with Europe and others, watch over the captured ISIS fighters and families. And he goes on to talk about how the caliphate's been destroyed, but it seems like Trump's, in his usual fashion, playing both sides of this on foreign policy.
He is. In a sense, he can't, on the one hand, give Turkey a green light to go into northern Syria and settle forces, and then, on the other hand, threaten the complete destruction of the Turkish economy, which, by the way, he doesn't have the capacity to do. Again, you can't have it both ways. He is concerned about opening the ISIS prison camps. Nobody wants to do that. I don't think that's going to happen. Everybody who's holding ISIS prisoners understands exactly what ISIS can do. It's harder to control the organization and recruitment from inside those prisons, but I think that that Syria, that Iraq, and certainly the Kurds are and Turks are going to keep those prisons closed, because even a few ISIS members getting out can sow some terrible damage.
This is really disheartening here. Let me play the next clip of Lindsey Graham talking about ISIS defeat and Trump's and troops really don't want to come back there, how he says that's El Toro poo-poo.
Senator, what about listening to the experts, the generals that are helping our president? Because I know that General Joe Dunford just stepped down a week ago, and the new U.S. military top officer is General Mark Milley. Do you think that he was recommending this?
I would be shocked. I woke up this morning. You know, this whole thing with the whistleblower is a political setup. I like President Trump. I've tried to help him. This, to me, is just unnerving to its core. To say to the American people ISIS has been destroyed in Syria is not true.
Senator, there are a lot of military families who would like to see our personnel come home.
I take issue with that. I know they do. I think a lot of military people are sad today that we've given back the battlefield to the enemy. I know what they thought about leaving Iraq. I've seen the tears in their eyes when they die, people die in Iraq, to have Obama give it back to the to ISIS types. So I will say this, Steve, that most American military people understand they want to keep the fight over there so it doesn't come back here. We set the conditions for the reemergence of ISIS, and all those who've fallen in battle to keep this threat away, to work with the Kurds. Can you imagine how you feel today if you fought alongside the Kurds as an American military member? You got to feel betrayed.
This has to be disheartening to some of these troops that have been working with some of the Kurds, because we had our typical, you know, people that were there giving guidance to the Kurds, and they've got to be just disheartened by this whole thing.
I've had many an officer who has served with the Kurds going back many years. One of my army colonels actually formed a local group in Tennessee when he was returned back to the United States with the Kurds. He spoke Kurdish and had deep attachment to the Kurds. Many are like that because they say they're loyal, they're wonderful people, they're warm, they're embracing, they never forget you when you fight alongside them. And so I suspect that from the top generals all the way down to our enlisted folks, the thousands and thousands of Americans who have fought on the side of the Kurds beginning in 2003 are, I would say, almost crushed by this betrayal. Because when you're there and you serve for 6 months, 3 months, a year, however long you serve, you get to know people and you give them as much as you can your word that we're gonna continue this partnership, only to have the president pull out without warning. I think that it's like the feeling we had when I was in Vietnam, and you look at the Vietnamese and when we abandoned them, it was the same thing. You feel like you've been betrayed people, and I think that it is deeply demoralizing for the U.S. military.
Dr. David Sorensen on the phone with us. We're going to go to a quick break. Back to Dr. Sorensen right after this.
The Dan Morris Show. Carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Quiet, smooth ride, spacious cabin, impressive technology, and plenty of storage. That's the new 2019 Ram truck at Brubaker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. I'm Dick Brubaker, and this month only, during Ram Power Days, you can save over $10,000 on select new 2019 Ram trucks and make no payment for 90 days. Over $10,000 in savings and no payments for 90 days at Brubaker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Equipped with the nicest interior of any American vehicle today, the new 2019 Ram 1500 works great as a luxury vehicle or as a work truck. It has more towing capacity, more rear seat space, and luxury comfort. Ram Power Days brings savings over $10,000 and no payment for 90 days at Brubaker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Better vehicles, better service, better pricing. It's a better buy at Brubaker.
Plus tax, tag, title, and fees. Must finance through Grove Financial with approved credit. Stock number R9154. See dealer for complete details. Offer expires September 30th, 2019.
Join News Talk 93.1 on the midway at the Alabama National Fair, October 4th through the 14th. Win free prizes. Meet the on-air personalities. See you at the Alabama National Fair, where News Talk 93.1. The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
.279-228. That's where we are on a Monday. Dr. David Sorensen on the phone with us talking about the situation in Turkey. Dr. Sorensen, Joey just read to me a retweet. It looks like the president of Turkey is going to be coming to Washington, D.C. for a meeting with Trump. What's the correlation that she put with that?
Well, that wasn't announced until just recently, so my sense is that Trump may be asking him to come to try to drum up domestic political support for his decision to withdraw U.S. forces. I suspect that that may include a meeting with senators like Senator Graham and representatives like Representative Cheney and others to try to get more support, probably even with the secretaries of defense and with state, who, interestingly enough, have been very quiet on this. I don't see anything from the Secretary of Defense. I don't see anything from the Secretary of State, which suggests to me that they don't necessarily agree with this position, may not have even known about it. It's not clear that General Milley, the new chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, even knew about the decision before it was announced. And I sense that bringing Erdogan to Washington may be a chance to try to get him to lobby. Erdogan is not popular in Washington.
I was about to say, this is not exactly Mr. Personality to win you over.
He is not. The last time he came to Washington, there were some Kurdish protesters, and Erdogan's security forces went in and beat them up badly. A couple actually were arrested, and Erdogan left the left Washington without a particularly favorable view, given that. His attack on journalists, his attack on Turkish democratic institutions has gotten condemnation from both Republicans and Democrats. So it could be that this may backfire on the president and make the situation even worse.
Well, I know during the Reagan administration, if we were going to do something like this, he would have brought in the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Colin Powell was an advisor to us in the White House. Do you sense that he did not talk to the Chief of Staff, the Joint Chiefs?
Yes, I think he did not. I spent this may have been a decision made really on his own behalf. Yeah, in a vacuum, which according to reports from insiders within the administration, that tends to be more increasingly the policy now, that the president does not consult even among the people to whom he has appointed. I would have thought that the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of State would have been on board to support or at least to comment had they been told. The fact that they have said nothing tells me that they were not consulted and perhaps not even informed when the president made this particular decision.
Well, Dr. Sorensen, I really appreciate your time today. This is quite a big subject here, and I'm sure we'll be learning a lot more about it in the coming weeks.
Dan, thank you for having me. I do appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. David Sorensen, our Middle East expert, Air War College, headed to the top of the hour break. Dan Marshall will be back with a whole show for you right after this.